Welcome back to Practicing Catholic. Hey, who doesn't like a good conversion story? We like them here on Practicing Catholic because sometimes the easiest way to recognize God's work in someone's life is when his call effects a rather dramatic shift. Doesn't always happen that way. I'll be the first to admit that, but sometimes that's the easiest way to recognize it. And it certainly happened with our next guest, Father Stephen Hilgendorf, who is the parochial administrator of St. Barnabas Catholic Church, a parish of the personal ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter, and associate pastor of Christ the King Catholic Church, a parish of the Archdiocese of Omaha. Father Hilgendorf, welcome to Practicing Catholic.
Thank you, Patrick. Good to be with you.
Good to be with you as well. Now, full disclosure, well, let's just say it right here at the beginning of the interview. Father, you were my successor as Director of Faith Formation at the Cathedral of St. Paul, so we have a tie already in that way. And I'm hoping that that was a good experience for you as you were rolling into the diaconate and then eventually into the priesthood.
Yeah, it was a wonderful experience. I can't say enough good about the Cathedral Parish and about Father Ubel and Deacon Schmitz and Deacon Phil and everybody else who's on staff there and assists.
Yeah, it was a great experience for me as well. Well, let's get into this whole journey that you have taken. I don't know how we're going to get through this in 15 minutes, but you recently spoke with folks at the Catholic Spirit about your time as an Anglican priest. Let's start at the beginning of all that. In your time as an Anglican priest, when did you first start to feel a call to Catholicism?
Well, my first sort of Catholicism has kind of been in the background of my life for most of my life. My family, my mother's family is Catholic, so there were a couple times I'd been to Mass, you know, when I was growing up for like Christmas or for a funeral. But I first consciously began to engage with Catholicism when I was in college. I went to Hillsdale College in Michigan, mm-hmm. and that was kind of where I became Anglican. And so during that process, as I was discovering the Church Fathers, that is the time that I had also begun to start engaging with Catholics that I knew on campus. They were, I think, for the first time in my life, had actually met Catholics who devoutly believed and practiced their faith. And so they shared that with me. I prayed the rosary for the first time while I was in college. But I just really wasn't ready at that point to go deep with the church, and I'd attended Mass a few times, and I'd even done some singing at the Scola at St. Anthony's, and in the end, I ended up joining up with the local Anglican parish, and it was once I was in seminary that I really started feeling the pull to become Catholic, and part of that was through some of my classmates. One of them, another Minnesota Catholic, Tyler Blansky, I remember him putting me in touch with a lecture by Dr. Scott Hahn on the papacy, and that was, I think, probably one of the first times that I began to really take seriously the Catholic theology about what is the office of the Pope, what is the Petrine mm-hmm. ministry all about. So that was when I really first began to discern that God might be calling me into the Catholic Church.
Okay. Well, and since you brought up the Pope and St. Peter and the Petrine office, as it were, we'll get back into the actual mechanics of the conversion as well. But I just wanted to hit up, make sure that people know the personal ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter. What is that, Father? Can you talk about that just
yes.
a bit?
Yeah, so that is a very common question. We're a new juridical structure within the Catholic Church. We're only about 10 years old. Back in 2009, Pope Benedict XVI issued an apostolic constitution called Anglicanorum Chaetibus, which was a response to requests coming in from groups of Anglicans who were wanting to be reconciled with the Church and to bring to not just come in one by one as individuals or families, but to come in as parishes, and in some cases there was the thought that whole dioceses might join as well. And so this is the fruit of a lot of ecumenical work and dialogue that in large part is based on, you know, the documents of the Second Vatican Council, specifically Lumen Gentium, which the Pope quotes at the opening of the document. The Ordinariate, which is basically a diocese, in everything except that it doesn't have territory. It's kind of linked up with the territory of an Episcopal conference, and in our case, both the conferences of the United States and the Canadian bishops. So we have a lot of territory that's not really our territory, but a lot of area that we cover.
Mm-hmm. All right. And with that, is there, has your intersection with that? Now, there's a particular liturgy that goes along with that as well, correct?
Yes, that's true. So, you know, we have our own bishop, we have parishes, and we also have our own particular usage of the Mass. We have something called Divine Worship, the Missal, which was approved by Pope Francis. I want to say it was 2015, and so it's basically the Missal itself refers to it as being an expression of the Roman Rite. So this is not a different rite of the Church in the sense of like the Mozarabic or the Byzantine or the Maronite, but rather this is the Roman Rite. It's an expression of it. And it incorporates within it certain prayers and gestures and other practices that were common among Anglicans, especially those who had, imbibed much of the Oxford movement and ritualist movement of the late 19th century. So in some ways it looks very similar to what has been called the extraordinary form of the Mass. But it most certainly isn't. It incorporates a lot of stuff from the Anglican prayer book tradition, but is also drunk deeply of the liturgical reforms flowing from the Second Vatican Council.
Got it. Okay. All right. Well, that helps shore that up a bit. Thank you for that, Father. Appreciate that. Let's go back to specifically the conversion. So there's one thing. It's one thing to become a Catholic from a different faith tradition, different Christian tradition, as you did. But it's, I would imagine you would say it's quite another to say, now I want to look into becoming a Catholic priest. I want to know your thoughts and what led you to that decision, but also the thoughts of your wife in the midst of all this as well.
Right. Well, so for us, that whole question kind of goes back to the period of time when we were actually still Anglican, when we had actually kind of come to grips with the fact that God was calling us to become Catholic. Mm-hmm. We knew that would entail letting go of ordained ministry, because the Catholic Church teaches that the Anglican ministry is not, in fact, is not the sacrament of holy orders as the Catholic Church possesses it. So I knew that when I would become Catholic, I would not be a priest. I'd be received, and I'd be able to serve as a layman. And so that took a while to come to grips with that and to accept that, okay, this is, if we believe that the Pope is who the Church says he is, and he's made this judgment, this is the truth, so we'll accept it. We also knew that there was a possibility, an open door for us to petition to be considered for formation for the priesthood and get a dispensation from the Pope from the norm of celibacy in my particular case. And so while we were still Anglican, we decided that was something that we felt the Lord was calling us to do. There had been a point in time where I had tried to distance myself from the ordained ministry while I was still trying to serve in an Anglican parish, and it didn't really go very well. And it was something that my wife and I both experienced together, was that as we kind of sought to try to distance ourselves from that, we realized, no, this is so much a part of who we are and how God has called us to live, that we need to lean into it right now, and then when the time comes to give it up, we give it up. But there was still the sense that even after we become Catholic, and I had multiple people, both Anglican and Catholic, saying you really should consider becoming a Catholic priest. And so, kind of with that, as well as the interior sense of call, that's kind of the basis on which we submitted an application to the Ordinariate to be considered. And of course, they had to pass that all on to Rome once they'd made a decision that they wanted to move forward with me. My wife and her own role in a lot of this too is that a normal a celibate man is only has to speak for himself, but in my case, my wife also has an opinion.
Right.
And the church, requested that, she also request my ordination.
Hmm.
So every man has to write out by hand a letter requesting ordination. And in this particular case, my wife also had to do the same thing for me. So wow. It was something that the both of us had to petition for.
Right, right. And now that you are serving not one but two parishes, St. Barnabas and Christ the King, as a Catholic priest, any insights as to, is the integration of your priesthood, your spiritual fatherhood, and your human physical fatherhood also, have those things integrated well?
So far, there's really not a whole lot of wisdom I can offer on it at the moment, but it is, over the past year as a deacon, and now over the past month and change as a priest, one of the things that's been most enriching, both for my priesthood as well as for our family life, has been the fact that we try to incorporate saying the Divine Office together as a family.
Nice.
We don't always pray both morning and evening prayer together, on the same day, but it's been a regular habit of ours to pray Compline at night, and then most of the time we'll get evening prayer in together as well. So having that connection between, my sacerdotal fatherhood, within the parish as well as within the family, that's a really kind of a neat and powerful point of connection for us.
Yeah, very good. Wow, wonderful. So just a couple more questions before we let you go here. One is that in your time, because you did your formation for the Catholic priesthood at the St. Paul Seminary, correct?
That's right.
Yeah. And then what was your relationship like with your brother seminarians at the time? Did you get some weird
wonderful
looks?
Oh, no.
Okay.
No, they were absolutely wonderful. They had, of course, they had questions. Everybody's got questions. And, but they were always very welcoming. I never felt like that I was, ever the odd man out or anything. They received me as a brother, and I was glad to call them brothers as well. So
okay.
It was a wonderful experience.
Good, good. And then how can we continue to pray for you, Father Stephen?
Well, seeing as it's the memorial of St. John Vianney, I think, at least today when we're talking, certainly the love of a pastor for his people, I think that would be appropriate, as well as the graces for my family as they participate with me in the offering of my life in the priesthood of Jesus Christ.
Wonderful. And finally, may we have a blessing from you, Father, before we let you go?
Certainly. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, be amongst you and remain with you always. Amen.
Amen. Father Stephen Hilgendorf, thank you so much for joining us on Practicing Catholic. God bless you and all that is to come.
Thank you, Patrick.
All right. We're going to take one more break. No, we're going to take two more breaks, but this is the next one. Stay with us when we return. Exciting news about the Archbishop Flynn Catechetical Institute and how you can be involved. That's coming up right after this.
Father Simon Says on Relevant Radio.
I rely on your show daily. I want you to know I really appreciate it.
Well, dear.
It helps me a lot.
Father Simon Says.
Have a question?
I know Catholics don't believe about the rapture, but what do we believe about
the
end times?
We believe in the parousia.
Father Simon Says.
What I like about your explanations is it gives me great reason to go back and listen to the podcast 3 or 4 times to really, really understand it.
It helps.
Concentrated. And I need
it's,
to,
yes, rather, I talk fast, yes.
It's wonderful stuff.
The Reverend Know-It-All, Father Richard Simon.
Hello, everyone.
Hi, good. Father.
What can I do for you?
God bless you, and you make me laugh all the time.
If you don't laugh, you cry.
Father Simon Says.
Enough with the kvetching.
Father Simon Says, 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on Relevant Radio.
Talk to you tomorrow. I am off like a cheap toupee.